Eddie, the junior year. Chapter 5. Spring track tryouts, part 1. Tryouts for the spring track team will begin earlier this year than usual. The spring season usually brings a larger field of students wanting to be part of the team. With the indoor track team bringing home so many medals this year, this year's field of athletes trying out for the spring track team will be enormous. Many of the students trying out for the team think that track is easy, and they can earn a medal too. If they can run fast enough, perhaps they can earn a medal. But Mr. Fraser would have known if anyone were fast enough to be a star on the track team, for he would have seen it in their performance during gym class. If such potential talent was suspected in any student, they would have received a special invitation to try out for the track team. Wednesday, after school, brings the largest field of athletes ever to try out for track and field. The locker room fills up with track stars, upcoming track stars, and wannabe track stars. Even Chucky is going to try his hand at track and field again. He is not about to let Eddie show him up anymore. After indoor track tryouts, it is safe to say that Chucky will be staying clear of the shot put. It's also safe to say that Chucky will be steering clear of the high jump. Perhaps he will become the school's new master at the javelin, hammer, or discus. And then, there's Jimmy O'Brien. Now that O'Brien is a junior, he thinks he might finally have what it takes to make the team. After all, half the people trying out for the team will be freshmen and sophomores, and younger than O'Brien. Mr. Zunday gives the announcement directing the students to the proper location for whatever sport they are trying out for. Track and field will meet in the auxiliary gym before they head out to the track. Eddie and the tribe take a seat together, amazed at the number of new faces they see. Barbara walks in and sits with Johnson. She is helping out with the team again, as an assistant coach, as she did during indoor track. Mr. Fraser enters the gym and introduces himself, Mr. Zunday, and Wendy. He looks around for Barbara, who walks up to join them. Mr. Fraser introduces Barbara as the assistant coach and informs everyone that she will be working with the distance runners today. Anyone who tried out for last year's team knows exactly what that means. The quick and easy cut for distance runners has become a yearly ritual. Mr. Fraser announces, "Okay, everyone listen up. I don't want anyone to leave yet, because the agenda has changed this year. Wait until I am finished speaking, and then you will all head out to the track together." Mr. Fraser instructs the team, "If you are a field athlete, you will assemble in the field area. Bobby B will take you there. If you are a distance runner, you will follow Barbara to the track. If you are a sprinter, you will follow Johnson and assemble near the sprinting lanes." Mr. Fraser, noticing Jimmy O'Brien in the bleachers, states, "And if your name is Jimmy O'Brien, head to the locker room right now. You are cut from the team immediately." O'Brien walks to the locker room, wondering why he was denied a chance to try out for the team. But Mr. Zunday has told Mr. Fraser that, unless an athlete understands the rules, they need not be given a chance to try out for the team. Once the laughter that followed the dismissal of O'Brien dies down, Mr. Fraser continues, "Now, here's what's different. If you are trying out for both a track event and a field event, please remain here for a brief meeting with me and Mr. Zunday." Mr. Fraser dismisses the athletes, who all head out to the track. On the way out, Barbara asks Mr. Fraser, "What's the cutoff this year?" Mr. Fraser replies, "Go for a 6:15 again. We'll see what we have left after that." After last year's outdoor season, Mr. Fraser wanted an idea of who is interested in both a track event and a field event. Mr. Fraser and Mr. Zunday see that Eddie, Kathy, Paula, and a few other runners want to try out for a field event this year. Mr. Fraser tells Eddie, Kathy, and Paula that they need not try out for the track events, and that they already have a place on the team. They are told that they should try out for the field events today. Mr. Fraser tells the others who are interested in both a track event and a field event that they will try out for the track events today and the field events tomorrow. After the short meeting, Mr. Fraser, Mr. Zunde, and the athletes then head out to the track. The rest of the group is already on their way to the track. On the way, Chukka decides to act a little cool and gives Eriko a bra snap and a wedgie at the same time. Chucky, perhaps, smoked a little too much pot before school today. Chucky's actions clearly do not sit well with Erika, who quickly turns around and forcefully slams her fist into Chucky's midsection. Chucky bends over in pain, and Erika gives him a well-placed uppercut to his left jaw. Chucky falls to the ground, and Erika proceeds to pulverize him, delivering one punch after another, at will. Showing no signs of relenting, Erika proceeds to kick the shit out of Chucky. The crowd steps back, giving Erika and Chucky room to fight. If Chucky were winning, Brayden, and a few others, would step in and stop the fight immediately. But since Erika is clearly winning, the fight is allowed to go on. Mr. Fraser and Mr. Zunde walk out of the school and see the fight from a distance. Mr. Zunde tells Mr. Fraser, "It looks like Erika is kicking the shit out of somebody. What is that guy's name?" Eddie, seeing the fight, tells Mr. Zunde, "That's the little Chucky. It looks like Erika's really taking care of him." Mr. Zunde tells Mr. Fraser, "We'd better go and break it up." Mr. Zunde starts walking a little slower as to not get there too quickly. Mr. Zunde remembers Chucky quite well from the indoor season and the trouble he caused. In the meantime, Erika is beating Chucky to a bloody pulp. Chucky is face down in the dirt as Erika twists his right arm behind his back. A loud pop is heard coming from Chucky's right shoulder, which could be a dislocation or torn rotator cuff. Chucky lets out a loud scream and cries himself a river. Erika decides that Chucky has had enough for now, so she stands up. Before she steps aside, Erika takes her foot and rams it into Chucky's several times, yelling, "You piece of shit," with every drive of her foot. She then kicks Chucky in the side of his rib cage, likely breaking a rib or two. Mr. Zunde and Mr. Fraser arrive, albeit a little late, to break up the fight. Mr. Zunde calmly asks Erika, "What was that all about?" Still fired up, Erika tells Mr. Zunde, "He snapped my bra and gave me a wedgie." Mr. Zunde replies, "Oh, I see." After a pause, Mr. Zunde asks Erika, "And then?" Erika replies, "I kicked the shit out of his fat ass." Mr. Zunde replies, "Good. It looks like you did a good job. I'm sure he won't try that again." Brayden tells Mr. Zunde, "I saw the whole thing. Chucky snapped her bra, and then he almost knocked her over with the wedgie. She turned around and kicked his ass. There hadn't been an ass kicking like that since I've been going to this school. I was afraid to stop her. I didn't want to get in the middle of that one. That was one supreme first-class ass kicking if I ever saw one." Mr. Zunde tells Brayden that it certainly was. Brayden could have easily stopped the fight, but as long as Erika was winning, he just let the fight continue. Mr. Zunde tells Chucky, "You, on the ground. Stand up." Chucky, who is still crying like a baby, manages to stand up, grasping his right arm. Mr. Zunde asks Chucky, "What happened?" Mr. Zunde already knows what happened. He just wants to hear Chucky's twisted side of the story. Chucky, still sobbing like a pansy in a hurricane, tells Mr. Zunde, "She just started hitting me." Mr. Zunde asks, "For no reason at all?" Chucky replies, "Yeah." Everyone knows that Chucky is not telling the truth. Mr. Zunde asks Chucky, "Did you snap her bra and give her a wedgie?" Chucky, still sobbing like a baby, tells Mr. Zunde, "Well, yeah. I was just playing around." Mr. Zunde informs Chucky, "At your age, that's not playing around. It's called sexual assault." Mr. Zunde tells Chucky, "Go inside and see the school nurse. Now?" Chucky limps back to the school, holding his shoulder, and sobbing the entire way. Erika asks Mr. Zunde, "Am I in a lot of trouble?" Mr. Zunde tells Erika, "If your story is accurate, you are in absolutely no trouble at all." A few of the athletes standing around all tell Mr. Zunde that it happened just as Erika described. After hearing the other students' testimony, Mr. Zunde tells Erika, "It sounds like everyone saw the same thing. You have nothing to worry about." Erika tells Mr. Zunde, "I don't even feel like running right now." Mr. Zunde tells Erika, "Why don't you come and throw the discus or javelin today? You've already made the track team by meddling in the state meet." Erika replies, "I think I just might do that." Mr. Fraser brings everyone together and announces, "Well, I didn't know the school had a professional wrestling team. You learn something new every day." The athletes laugh, then Mr. Fraser continues, "Okay, since today's entertainment is over, I want all of my distance runners to please follow Barbara." Seeing the overly large field of distance runners, Mr. Fraser whispers to Barbara, "I changed my mind. Have Mitchell run a 6-minute mile. Anyone who cannot run a 6-minute mile will be cut immediately. Anyone below that time still might have a chance to make the team. Barbara will separate the pack at the finish line into those who will go home and those who will be invited back tomorrow." Mr. Fraser then announces, "If you're a field athlete, please follow Mr. Zunde. If you're a sprinter, follow me to the starting line." The athletes break out and head to their designated location. This year, Eddie, Kathy, and Paula will try their hand at the discus. They follow Mr. Zunde to the field and are joined by Erika. Eddie asks Kathy, "So, you're competing against me again?" Kathy tells him, "Not really. I'm going to let you win. I know how much this means to you." Eddie tells her, "You're so sweet. Thank you so much. I'd hate for someone to make me look bad in front of the Chucky." Kathy laughs and replies, "He went back inside. So, you're safe." Eddie fakes sobbing and whines, "You mean, the little Chucky is not going to try out? Please tell me it isn't so. Our team needs the Chucky." Kathy replies, "Without the Chucky and O'Brien, the team just isn't going to be the same. You guys will just have to take up the slack." Mr. Zunde tells the shot put athletes to take a few warm-up throws with Bobby B, and tells them that he will join them shortly. Mr. Zunde decides to first work with the discus. Mr. Zunde tells Wendy, "I hope you're ready for this. You'll be busy today." Wendy, who is driving the Cushman, will be retrieving the discus and other field implements for the next 2 hours. Wendy doesn't care. She likes driving the Cushman and will find any excuse to get behind the wheel. Mr. Zunde shows the group how the discus is thrown as everyone watches. Once he is finished with his demonstration, Mr. Zunde tells the women that they can go first. Erika, who has a lot of steam to blow off, goes first. Erika goes into the wind-up and into the spin and releases the discus, throwing the discus an impressive distance. Mr. Zunde tells her that her throw was very good. Wendy drives out to take the measurement and enters the distance on Erika's performance page on her clipboard. While Wendy is taking the measurement, Mr. Crum, who found out that Chucky and Erika were in a fight, is having a heated discussion with Mr. Fraser at the finish line. It's no big secret what the discussion is about. For the time being, Mr. Zunde lets Mr. Fraser and Mr. Crum battle it out. Mr. Zunde will join the comedy show if necessary, but he is too busy at the moment to be bothered with the irate principal. Wendy retrieves the discus and brings it back to Mr. Zunde. Kathy's turn is next. Kathy, who is all excited, gets onto the discus pad and practices the wind-up. Kathy goes into the spin and releases the discus. Everyone watches as the discus flies through the air. Unexpectedly, attention is quickly shifted from the soaring discus to the person crossing into the red zone. That person is none other than Mr. Crum. Mr. Crumb, who is not even aware that there is a discus in the air, yells out, "Erica Gabriel, I want to see you immediately." As Mr. Crumb hastily walks through the red zone, the discus strikes his leg, and he falls to the ground. Mr. Zunde, seeing what happened, yells out, "Ground all implements. Ground all implements." Bobby B, hearing Mr. Zunde's command, also yells out, "Ground all implements." Bobby B places the shot put behind the shot put pad. The javelins and hammer are likewise placed on the ground. The experienced field athletes all know what this means, and they are quick to cooperate. The freshmen get their first lesson on what to do should an undesirable event occur in the red zone. Once Mr. Zunde has determined that all of the implements have been properly grounded, he yells out, "Clear." Mr. Fraser then goes into the red zone to attend to Mr. Crumb. Mr. Fraser tells Mark to run inside and have someone call an ambulance. Mr. Fraser wisely picked the fastest person in the immediate vicinity to perform that task. Mr. Fraser tells Mr. Crumb, "Lay on your back and don't move." Mr. Crumb exclaims, "Who threw the discus at me? I demand to know. Who threw it?" Mr. Fraser tells Mr. Crumb, "Calm down and don't move." Mr. Crumb again yells out, "Who threw it at me? Tell me." Mr. Fraser tells Mr. Crumb, "Shut up already. And don't move." Mr. Crumb, not surprisingly, appears to be more concerned about who was on the other end of the discus rather than his own health and the fact he can't seem to stand up. Mr. Zunde then arrives at the scene. Mr. Fraser tells Mr. Zunde, "He ran into the discus." Mr. Crumb exclaims, "I didn't run into the discus. Someone threw it at me. Who was it? I want to know." Mr. Zunde tells Mr. Crumb, "That's quite unfortunate." Mr. Crumb, still on the ground, is still demanding to know who threw the discus. Mr. Zunde tells Mr. Crumb, "Just shut up, Crumb. The ambulance will be here soon. At least, you're still alive. You should consider yourself fortunate. And, by the way, you shouldn't have been in the red zone. This is your own fault." Mr. Fraser takes Mr. Zunde aside, telling him, "He came up looking for Erica, and I saw her at the discus pad. I tried to stop him from entering the red zone. He wouldn't listen. He told me, 'I'm the principal of this school. You don't tell me what to do.'" Mr. Zunde replies, "I guess he found out the hard way." Mr. Fraser tells Mr. Zunde, "I'd like to say he won't do that again, but this is not the first time he's walked through the red zone." Looking over at Mr. Crumb, Mr. Zunde mentions, "Oh, wonderful. He's trying to stand up." Mr. Zunde commands Mr. Crumb, "Crumb, you idiot. Do not move. Lay down." Mr. Fraser and Mr. Zunde walk back over to Mr. Crumb to make sure he doesn't injure himself further. Mr. Crumb yells at Mr. Zunde, asking him, "What took so long for anyone to get to me?" Mr. Zunde tells Mr. Crumb, "We had to ground all the implements." Mr. Crumb exclaims, "Ground all the implements? What is that supposed to mean? I was hit?" Mr. Zunde calmly explains to Mr. Crumb, "We had to make sure all the implements, the shot put, the discus, the javelin, and the hammer, were all safely grounded. Otherwise, someone else may end up just like you. No one enters the red zone without the proper training. And you, sir, do not have that training." Mr. Crumb, pointing at Wendy sitting in the cushman, exclaims, "How about her? She was out there." Mr. Zunde tells Mr. Crumb, "She's had the proper training. She knows what she's doing. You haven't had the training, and you've clearly demonstrated that you don't know what you're doing. If someone is in the red zone during practice or a meet, they should always be facing in the direction from which the implements are thrown. No official or assistant would ever be caught with their back to the launch points of the implements." When Wendy retrieves the discus, she drives the cushman outside of the red zone, next to the track, to a point farther than the discus, or other implement, was thrown. She then drives toward the launch points to retrieve the discus, javelin, or hammer. Wendy is working solo today, so she is extra careful. For extra safety, the field athletes are instructed not to throw an implement when they see anyone in the red zone with their back to the launch pad. Kathy, meanwhile, does not seem to give a rip that Mr. Crumb got in the way of the discus. Standing next to Eddie, she tells him, "I can just see this one going down real well. I can hear it tomorrow morning. Katerina Karakova, please report to the principal's office." Eddie tells her he was in the red zone. "It's his own fault anyway." Kathy replies, "Yeah, I know. And I'm choosing not to care." Eddie reminds Kathy, "And you heard what the doctor said. You should avoid stress." Kathy decides, "So, when I have to go to the principal's office, I'm going to lecture him. He's not going to lecture me." Kathy, blowing off a little steam, tells Eddie, "And when I'm sitting in his office, looking at his broken desk, he's going to say to me, 'Kathy, it has come to my attention that you intentionally threw the discus at me yesterday. I am going to have to suspend you.' And then, I'm going to tell him, 'Yeah, that's exactly right. I threw the discus at you. You've got to admit it. It was a perfect shot. And then, I was fighting Springer for the other discus, because I wasn't even close to being done. In fact, Bobby B. was lining up all the field implements on the ground, in a row, so I can throw them all at you, one by one. But then, Mr. Zunday walked into the red zone. I didn't want to hit Mr. Zunday, so I stopped. Lucky you." Eddie laughs and tells Kathy, "You're a little fired up." Kathy replies, "I'm just sick of his shit. If I get called to his office, that's what I'm telling him." The ambulance finally arrives and drives to the track through the service gate. Mr. Zunday tells the paramedics, "Mr. Crumb had an unfortunate meeting with the discus. The discus won. He has a knee or a leg injury. I would treat it like a fracture." The paramedics take Mr. Zunday's advice and place Mr. Crumb on a stretcher and stabilize his injured leg. Since Mr. Crumb is quite uncooperative, they have to use more restraints than usual to hold him down. Braden comments, "Look at that. They belted his ass to the stretcher." Mr. Crumb, as he is being carried away, assures everyone, "There's going to be trouble tomorrow." Braden assures Mr. Crumb, "It looks like you already got your trouble today." The ambulance drives away with Mr. Crumb, and everyone is glad to see him leave. Mr. Zunday calls everyone together and tells them Mr. Crumb was in the red zone, and unfortunately he got in the way of the discus. This is exactly why it is important to stay out of the red zone. Don't be the next one to be caught in the red zone. Mr. Fraser then tells everyone, "Okay, everyone. Let's get back to work." The field athletes head back to their tryouts with Mr. Zunday. The sprinters return to working with Mr. Fraser. What's left of the distance runners, after Barbara sent 3/4 of them home, go for a 6-mile training run. Mr. Zunday tells Kathy, "Mr. Crumb messed up your throw. We couldn't get a good measurement. Give it another try." Kathy takes the discus and gets on the discus pad. She goes into the spin and releases the discus. Fortunately, this time Mr. Crumb is not in the way to mess up her attempt. Wendy drives out to take the measurement and retrieves the discus. Mr. Zunday informs Kathy, "That was a very impressive throw. And your form was great." Kathy replies, "And no idiot got in the way of my throw this time." Kathy apparently has a lot of adrenaline to burn off. The rest of the day goes reasonably well. Mr. Fraser, using the 100-yard dash and the 440-yard dash as a gauge, has trimmed the field of sprinters to a manageable level. From Mr. Fraser's vantage point, there are only 2 races that are run in spring track, the 100-yard dash and the 440-yard dash. Any distance race more than 440 yards is nothing more than a 440-yard dash with a short, long, or very long warm-up before the final sprint. And the 220-yard dash is nothing more than a prolonged 100-yard dash. After practice, everyone heads to the locker room. While they are changing, the big discussion among the athletes is the fight between Erica and Chucky, and Mr. Crumb being taken down by the discus. Everyone is wondering what tomorrow will bring, especially since the two events that occurred will involve Mr. Crumb attempting to bring disciplinary action down on someone. No one is expecting Mr. Crumb to just forget about what happened out on the track. There will be a clash, but Mr. Zunday will be sure to defend Erica and Kathy. But, for now, everyone is focused on securing their place on the team. After everyone gets changed, Kathy, Paula, and Erica meet in the front of the school waiting for the guys. Kathy mentions to Erica, "It looks like you really took care of the chucker today." Erica replies, "Well, it was going to happen sooner or later." Kathy asks, "What was going to happen?" Erica replies, "The fight. I've been ready for him for years. I guess today was Chucky's lucky day." Paula asks, 4 years. What's been going on?" Erica explains, "Chucky is a year ahead of me. It started when I was in first grade. He would always give me a wedgie and pull down my pants in front of everyone. He thought it was funny. I didn't." Kathy exclaims, "He did what?" Erica explains further, "It didn't stop there. Then, in second and third grade, he started beating me up. I was so glad when he went to middle school. It was nice not having him around for a whole year." Paula exclaims, "What a piece of shit." Erica explains, "And that is why I look like this today, showing Kathy and Paula her biceps and abs." Erica continues, telling Kathy and Paula, "So, I started working out when I was 10 years old, mostly by lifting weights. So, now I work out about 2 hours a day. I was tired of putting up with all his crap. My dad told me that if someone starts something, I should finish it right there. So, I did. And, I don't care what the principal does. My dad will take care of him." Kathy remarks, "Wow. That Chucky really is an asshole." Paula tells Erica, "If they call you to the principal's office, tell the secretary to get Mr. Zunday." Kathy remarks, "Mr. Crumb will definitely call her to his office tomorrow. If that little jerk ran out into the red zone to get her, he'll stop at nothing." The guys arrive, and everyone walks home, except for Kathy and Eddie. Kathy gets to drive home. On the way, Kathy fills Eddie in on Erica's story. After hearing the details, Eddie tells Kathy, "See? We knew there was something up with her last summer. We knew she was hiding something." Kathy remarks, "Well, it ain't hidden now. Erica's secret is now out in the open." During the drive home, Kathy, pretending to be compassionate, asks Eddie, "Don't you feel sorry for the poor little defenseless Chucky?" Eddie replies, "No." Kathy asks, "Not even a little itty bitty bit?" Eddie replies, "No." Kathy asks, "Well, don't you feel even a little bad that no one came to help the Chucky when Erica beat him up?" Eddie replies, "No." Kathy coldly remarks, "Me either." They arrive at Kathy's house, and Eddie stays for a while. Eddie then heads home for dinner. They both need a good night's sleep before tryouts tomorrow. As sure as the sun rises, the next day, during second period, the announcement is made over the loudspeaker, "Will Charles Black and Erica Gabriel please report to the administration office?" In class, Kathy whispers to Paula, "Wow. I lucked out." Paula replies, "This is going to be funny. It's just too bad that we're going to miss it." Erica heads to the administration office, not knowing what to expect. The rest of the tribe wishes they could be there with Erica. In the gym, Mr. Zunday tells Mr. Fraser and Mr. Chubin, "Well, it's time for the comedy hour. I'll be back later. Mr. Fraser tells Mr. Zunday, I'm coming. Mr. Chubin remarks, I'll hold down the fort. Erica, Mr. Fraser, and Mr. Zunday all wait in the administration area. Chucky arrives last, with his right arm in a sling. Mr. Zunday asks Mrs. Marlowe, the secretary, do you know what this is all about? Mr. Zunday already knows what the meeting is about. He just wants to hear what Mr. Crumb has told her. Mrs. Marlowe tells Mr. Zunday, it's something about a fight yesterday after school. Mrs. Marlowe whispers to Mr. Zunday and asks, did someone beat up Mr. Crumb? He's looking pretty rough. Mr. Zunday whispers back, not exactly. He stepped in the way of an airborne discus. The discus apparently won. Everyone waits around for about 10 minutes, and Mr. Crumb finally opens his door. Mr. Crumb hobbles out of his office in a cast, walking with the aid of crutches. He goes no farther than his door, for doing so would be too difficult. Mr. Crumb brazenly announces, Erica and Charles, get in here right away. Mr. Crumb tells Erica and Chucky to have a seat, seating them next to each other across from his desk. Mr. Zunday and Mr. Fraser walk in after the students and stand with their arms crossed, waiting for the show to begin. Mr. Crumb would normally question the reason for Mr. Zunday and Mr. Fraser's presence, but today, the reason is clear. Should Mr. Crumb challenge Mr. Zunday regarding the reason for his presence, he would lose anyway. Mr. Crumb makes his way to his seat, stumbling along the way. Before he begins, Mr. Zunday tells Mr. Crumb, I hope you're feeling a little better today. Mr. Crumb fails to acknowledge Mr. Zunday's deeply felt compassion. Mr. Crumb opens the meeting by stating, I don't know what happened out there yesterday, but I'm going to get to the bottom of it. I'm going to listen to both sides of the story, and then I'm going to make a decision. Mr. Zunday whispers to Mr. Fraser, he's going to make a decision. I can't wait to hear it. Mr. Fraser whispers back, and we already know what his decision is. He's going to suspend both of them. Mr. Crumb announces, Charles, I am going to start with you. Tell me exactly what happened. Chucky responds, we were walking out to the track, and Erica started to beat me up. She wouldn't stop. Erica exclaims, he snapped my. Before Erica could finish, Mr. Crumb raises his voice and yells out to Erica, I'll get to you in a minute. In the meantime, just sit there and keep your mouth shut. Mr. Crumb asks Chucky, Charles, why did Erica beat you up? Chucky replies, I don't know. Mr. Crumb asks, is that it? She just beat you up. Chucky replies, yeah. For no reason at all. And the doctor said my shoulder is dislocated and sprained. And I also have a broken rib. Now, I can't try out for the discus. Mr. Zunday whispers to Mr. Fraser, good. We all lucked out on that one. Mr. Crumb instructs Erica, okay, Erica. Tell me what happened. Erica tells Mr. Crumb, we were all walking out to the track. Chucky snapped my bra, and then he gave me a wedgie. Then I turned around and kicked the shit out of him, like my father told me to do. Mr. Crumb asks, like your father told you to? Erica replies, yeah. That's what he told me to do when someone attacks me. Mr. Crumb sarcastically tells Erica, now, I wouldn't exactly call what Charles did an attack. Erica replies, I would. And I really don't care what you think. Mr. Fraser whispers to Mr. Zunday, this is going to get good. Mr. Zunday whispers back, I can see that. I think Erica is just getting warmed up. Mr. Crumb is now hot under the collar. Kathy verbally beat the crap out of him last autumn, and now Erica is going down the same path. Mr. Crumb tells Erica, I'm not going to put up with your back talk, young lady. Erica replies, so don't. Call my father. Mr. Crumb replies, I might just do that. Erica replies with the highly sarcastic, waiting. Kathy and Paula have taught Erica well. Mr. Crum has been called on his bluff. So, Mr. Crum, following through with his threat, gets on the intercom and tells Mrs. Marlowe to get Erica's mother or father on the phone. Mr. Crum continues to dig a deeper hole that he will undoubtedly land in later. And, with a broken leg, it's not likely that he will get out of it very easily. Getting back to his interrogation, Mr. Crum asks Chucky, "Did you snap her bra and give her a wedgie, or whatever you kids call it?" Chucky replies, "Well, yeah. But I was only joking." Mr. Crum asks Erica, "Do you think that someone snapping your bra should result in this type of violence?" Erica replies, "No. It should have resulted in more. I should have kept going until half his bones were broken. My mistake. Next time, I'll do better." Mr. Zunday whispers to Mr. Fraser, "She's good." Mr. Crum tells Chucky and Erica, "Fighting in school is not permitted under any circumstances. So, I'm going to have to suspend both of you." Erica challenges Mr. Crum, telling him it was after school. Mr. Crum tells Erica, "That doesn't matter." Erica asks, "Suppose it was the weekend out on the track?" Mr. Crum replies, "I don't have to answer your questions, young lady. Either way, I'm suspending you." Erica replies, "So, what you're telling me is that, the next time I kick the shit out of that shithead, I should drag his fat ass off the school grounds first." Mr. Crum exclaims, "That's enough out of you." Erica, mimicking Mr. Crum in a childlike voice, responds, "That's enough out of you." Mr. Zunday interrupts and tells Mr. Crum, "And that's enough out of you, too. You're not suspending Erica." Mr. Crum brashly asks, "And why not?" Mr. Zunday explains, "When Chucky snapped Erica's bra and gave her a wedgie, that is called sexual assault. He specifically targeted two areas of her female anatomy simultaneously, which were her vagina and her breasts. If he had pushed her in her back or hit her on her arm, then that would be a different story. If you suspend her, I'm sure her father will not let this issue go." Mr. Crum thinks about Mr. Zunday's comments for a moment, perhaps reconsidering his position. Chucky, who knows that he is going to be suspended, brilliantly announces to everyone, "She has no breasts." Erica yells at Chucky, asking, "What did you say?" Chucky replies, "You don't have any breasts. You're not even a girl." Erica gets out of her seat and proceeds to kick the shit out of Chucky again, right in front of everyone. Erica pulverized Chucky at will, blow after blow. Mr. Crum exclaims to Mr. Fraser and Mr. Zunday, "Do something." Mr. Zunday calmly asks Mr. Crum, "What specifically would you like me to do?" Mr. Crum exclaims, "Stop them from fighting." Meanwhile, Chucky is on the floor, being again beaten to a bloody pulp by Erica. This time, Erica pulverized Chucky's face. Mr. Zunday tells Erica and Chucky, "Erica and Charles, Mr. Crum wants you to stop fighting." Mr. Crum again exclaims, "Do something." Mr. Zunday slowly walks over to the fight and taps Erica on the shoulder, telling her, "He's had enough for now. You can finish him off later, after school." Erica gets in a few more solid blows and then takes her seat. Chucky, however, is lying on the floor, altering the color of Mr. Crum's carpet to a deep shade of red. Mr. Crum picks up his phone and calls the school nurse's office. When she answers, Mr. Crum tells the nurse to come to his office immediately. While they are waiting for the nurse, Chucky is laying on the ground with a bloody nose and a fat lip, crying like a baby. Mr. Crum puts his elbows on his desk and holds his head in his hands, trying to figure out what to do next. The school nurse arrives and helps Chucky out of Mr. Crum's office, taking him away to her office. Mr. Zunday and Mr. Fraser stand with their arms crossed, awaiting Mr. Crum's next move. Mr. Crum addresses Erica, telling her, "Okay, young lady. Please explain to me what you just did." Erica replies, "The first thing I did was hit him in the lip with a right, and then his nose with a left. Then, I started hammering him in his eye, because it's a weak point. Mr. Crum exclaims, "No, no, no. I am asking you why you started another fight." Erica replies, "I didn't start the first fight." Mr. Crum tells Erica, "I'm going to ask you this one more time. Why did you hit Charles again?" Erica explains, "Chucky has been doing this crap since first grade. He used to pull my pants down in front of everyone. He thought it was funny, and I didn't. And my father told me that, if Chucky ever touches me again, I should beat the shit out of him. And he said if anyone stops me, he'll haul them off to jail along with Chucky." Mr. Crum sits back in his chair and snickers, asking Erica, "And just how is your father going to haul someone off to jail?" Erica replies, "He's the police captain. He'll find a way." That was the last thing in the world that Mr. Crum wanted to hear. Mr. Zunday whispers to Mr. Fraser, "This is getting good. You can't even begin to make this stuff up." Mr. Crum, knowing that he is in a tight situation, is now very silent. Mr. Zunday breaks the unexpected intermission and tells Mr. Crum, "Chucky started the fight yesterday with two physical sexual assaults. Today, we all heard a verbal sexual assault out of Chucky. You really might want to reconsider suspending Erica." Mr. Crum tells Mr. Zunday, "Rules are rules, Mr. Zunday." Mr. Zunday replies, "Oh, I know that. We have rules in track and field too, like staying out of the red zone. The police also enforce rules. Their rules are called laws, and the law just happens to trump your little policy manual sitting next to one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish over there on your bookshelf." Mr. Zunday asks Mr. Crum, "By the way, have you ever read it?" Mr. Crum replies, "Yes. Of course I've read the policy manual." Mr. Zunday tells Mr. Crum, "I wasn't talking about the policy manual. I was talking about one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish." Getting back on track, Mr. Crum asks Mr. Zunday, "Well, what do you expect me to do?" Mr. Zunday replies, "I'm sure that there are a few overdue library books that need your attention. But if you want to deal with getting in the middle of assault charges, be my guest. I am not going to stop you." Mr. Crum realizes that he has just dug himself into a deep hole. Mr. Zunday has just informed Mr. Crum that the school's policy manual is not going to carry any weight if an assault charge is filed. But Mr. Crum has already had the secretary call Erica's mother or father at home so that he can speak with one of them. It's not likely he can backpedal his way out of this one. While they are waiting, Mr. Fraser tells Erica, "By the way, you're on the team." Erica replies, "Awesome. Thanks." Mr. Fraser mentions, "If you think you can keep up with Braden, I can put you in the 440. Erica replies, "I'll definitely give it my best. That's my favorite event." Mr. Fraser, Mr. Zunday, and Erica talk about track for a while as Mr. Crum waits to hear back from the school secretary. Mrs. Marlowe, the school secretary, comes to the door and interrupts the conversation. She informs Mr. Crum, "Erica's father is on his way." Mr. Crum replies, "On his way? I just wanted to talk with him." Mr. Zunday interjects, "Well, it looks like now you'll get your chance." Mr. Crum replies, "I didn't mean that he had to come to the school." Mr. Crum, learning that Erica's father is a police captain, is not looking forward to that confrontation. Erica, now much more relaxed knowing that her father is on the way, asks, "Why not?" Mr. Crum has no answer, so he ponders what he can do to change the subject and moves on. Mr. Crum, recalling the events of yesterday, asks Mr. Zunday, "Who threw the discus at me yesterday?" Mr. Zunday informs Mr. Crum, "No one threw the discus at you. You got in its way." Mr. Zunday knows Mr. Crum's weak point. Mr. Zunday is making Mr. Crum take the painfully long way to get the answer to his question. Mr. Crum asks the question again, in a different way, "Someone threw that discus. Who was it?" Mr. Zunde tells Mr. Crumb, "It doesn't matter who threw the discus. You were not only in the red zone, but you entered the red zone after you were warned not to. What happened to you after you entered the red zone is your problem. There is a reason why it is called the red zone. You should have been more careful." Mr. Crumb brashly tells Mr. Zunde, "I'm going to find out who threw the discus at me." Mr. Zunde asks, "And then what are you going to do about it?" Mr. Crumb replies, "I will have them suspended or expelled." Mr. Zunde firmly tells Mr. Crumb that, "Sir, you will not do. You have no argument. What happened to you in the red zone was totally your own fault." It doesn't take Erika's father long to drive up to the school in a police car. He walks into the administration area and tells the secretary, "Find Erika Gabriel for me. I'm her father." The secretary, pointing to Mr. Crumb's office, tells Mr. Gabriel, "She's in the principal's office, right over here." Mr. Gabriel opens the door, as if he owns the building, and walks right in. He's apparently not in the mood for conforming to the school's protocol. Mr. Crumb is shocked to see the officer just walk right into his office. Looking at Erika, Mr. Gabriel asks, "What's going on here?" Mr. Crumb replies, "Erika was fighting in school today." Mr. Gabriel firmly tells Mr. Crumb, "I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to Erika. I'll get to you in a minute." Mr. Zunde whispers to Mr. Fraser, "We could charge admission to these meetings." Mr. Gabriel asks Erika, "Does this have anything to do with that Charles Black character again?" Erika tells her father, "Yeah. He told me I have no breasts, and that I wasn't even a girl. So, I just kicked the shit out of him again." Mr. Gabriel replies, "Good." Listening to Mr. Gabriel talk with Erika, Mr. Crumb is getting very distressed. He has fallen into the hole that he dug for himself and has no conceivable way of getting out. After Mr. Gabriel is finished talking to his daughter, he introduces himself, telling everyone, "I'm Erika's father. I can't tell you how happy I am to waste my time having to be called down to this school for this nonsense." Mr. Crumb announces, "I'm Mr. Crumb. I'm the principal of this school." Mr. Gabriel ignores Mr. Crumb at the moment, sending a clear message of who is running this meeting. Mr. Gabriel turns to Mr. Zunde and Mr. Fraser. Mr. Zunde tells Mr. Gabriel, "Good morning. I'm Mr. Zunde, one of Erika's track coaches, and this is Mr. Fraser. Mr. Fraser is the head coach of our track and field team and one of our physical education instructors." Mr. Gabriel shakes their hands and tells Mr. Zunde and Mr. Fraser, "It's nice to meet you. Erika speaks very highly of you both." Mr. Gabriel turns to Mr. Crumb, commanding him, "Now, tell me your side of the story." Mr. Crumb tells Mr. Gabriel, "I'm going to have to suspend Erika for fighting in school. She started a fight right here in my office today." Mr. Gabriel asks Mr. Crumb, "What was the name of that kid who started the fight yesterday?" Mr. Gabriel already knows the answer, but he is asking anyway since he is conducting an investigation. Mr. Crumb replies, "Charles Black." Mr. Gabriel tells Mr. Crumb, "Get him down here right away." Mr. Crumb suddenly suspects that he is no longer the supreme authoritative figure in the room. He would be right. Mr. Crumb informs Mr. Gabriel, "He's in the nurse's office. He was bleeding very badly." Mr. Crumb then asks, "Why do you want to see him?" Mr. Gabriel replies, "I want to question him. Unless he's in a coma, get him down here immediately." Mr. Crumb tells Mr. Gabriel, "I can't do that right now." Mr. Crumb's answer did not sit well with Mr. Gabriel. Mr. Crumb thinks he can throw his weight around. Unfortunately, the only weight Mr. Crumb has to throw around is the fat around his midsection. Mr. Gabriel informs Mr. Crumb, "I am conducting an investigation. I said, get him down here right now. And I suggest you do not obstruct my investigation, otherwise I will arrest you." Mr. Crumb calls the secretary and tells her to tell the nurse to bring Chucky back to his office. And Mr. Crumb now knows, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that he is no longer the supreme authoritative figure in the room. Mr. Gabriel then asks Mr. Crumb, were there any witnesses to yesterday's event? Mr. Crumb replies, I don't know. Mr. Gabriel asks Mr. Zunday and Mr. Fraser, are either of you aware of any witnesses? Mr. Fraser replies, we walked out to the track after the team was on their way. All of the candidates for this year's team saw the fight. Some of them saw how it started and exactly what happened. Mr. Zunday adds, Braden saw the play-by-play. Mr. Gabriel asks Mr. Crumb, do you know who this Braden guy is? Mr. Crumb, realizing that he has lost all of his authority, replies, yes, I certainly do. Mr. Gabriel tells Mr. Crumb, get him down here right now. Mr. Crumb gets on his phone and tells the secretary to call Axel Braden to the office and asks her to find out the status of Chucky, since he has not yet returned. Captain Gabriel is wasting absolutely no time getting to the bottom of what happened yesterday. The announcement is made over the loudspeaker. Axel Braden, please report to the principal's office immediately. Sitting in the classroom, Braden exclaims, shit, and leaves class, wondering what he has done now. Walking down the hall, Braden tries to recall any profanity he may have used over the last few days. On the way, he has trouble recalling any profanity that he has used at all. He does recall, however, that he said, look at that. They belted his ass to the stretcher, referring to when the paramedics had to restrain Mr. Crumb. Braden also recalls saying to Mr. Crumb, it looks like you already got your trouble today. Braden comes to the conclusion that he's getting busted for making those remarks. That would mean no track today, and possibly for the remainder of the week. As he walks down the hall, Braden is prepared for the worst. Braden arrives at the administration area, and the secretary informs Mr. Crumb that Axel Braden is waiting. The secretary tells Braden that Mr. Crumb wants to see him, and that he can go right into the principal's office. Braden does not have the luxury of being greeted by Mr. Crumb himself, since he is pretty much stuck behind his desk with a broken leg. Braden walks into Mr. Crumb's office, seeing a police officer standing in front of him. Braden immediately comes to the conclusion that this is something a lot bigger than he originally thought. The police are not called when someone uses profanity. Mr. Crumb tells Mr. Gabriel, this is Axel Braden. Mr. Gabriel tells Braden, it's nice to meet you. I understand you know my daughter, Erica. Braden replies, yes, sir. I do. Mr. Gabriel informs Braden, I also understand you were present during the altercation between Erica and Charles Black yesterday. Braden replies, yes, sir. I saw the whole thing. Braden now understands that he is not in any sort of trouble. Mr. Gabriel tells Braden, tell me what you saw. Braden explains, Chucky came up behind Erica and snapped her bra. Then, he gave her the biggest wedgie I've ever seen. He about ripped her underwear off her body. She almost fell forward. Then, Erica turned around and kicked his ass. That was the best ass kicking anyone's ever seen in this school. Everyone was afraid to stop her. I wasn't going to get in the middle of that one. When she was done, Chucky was laying on the ground crying like a little baby. Mr. Gabriel asks Braden, who else saw it? Braden replies, let me think. I was walking with Mark, Johnson, Mitchell, Hoffa, Amber, and the new guy. We all saw it. Mr. Fraser asks Braden, Adekunle Akinmola. Braden replies, yeah, that guy. And a few others. The nurse returns Chucky to Mr. Crumb's office. Chucky takes his seat again, next to Erica. Mr. Gabriel greets Chucky by saying, it's nice to see you again, Charles. Chucky does not respond. Mr. Zunday mentions, it sounds like you know each other. Mr. Gabriel replies, we do. Charles, here, is putting more time into expanding his rap sheet than he spends doing school work. Mr. Zunde asks, so, he has a record? Mr. Gabriel replies, 3 drug busts and 4 assault charges, soon to be 5. Mr. Crum, unaware of Chuck's criminal record, replies, we didn't know he has a record. Mr. Gabriel replies, that doesn't surprise me at all. Mr. Gabriel asks Mr. Crum, so, when the fight broke out this morning, is this where Erica and Charles were seated? Mr. Crum replies, yes, it was. Mr. Gabriel tells Mr. Crum in a matter-of-fact tone, if a fight broke out here this morning, it was totally your own fault. If you bring 2 adversaries into your office, you should have at least had them separated, not sitting next to each other. And if you were wise, you would have someone who could prevent a fight stationed between them. And it appears to me that you are in absolutely no condition to break up a fight. Mr. Fraser whispers to Mr. Zunde, he definitely has a point. Mr. Gabriel tells Chucky, okay, Charles, tell me what happened. You can start with yesterday. Chucky pouts and replies, I'm not telling you anything. Mr. Gabriel replies, that's fine, Charles. You can expect a visit from Juvenile this evening. They'll take you to your home away from home. Mr. Gabriel informs Mr. Crum, it looks like Charles won't be in school tomorrow, since he'll be detained. I am pressing assault charges. Chucky starts crying again, saying, I don't want to go to that jail again. Please, please don't send me there. Mr. Gabriel tells Chucky, I'm not sending you there, Charles. You're sending yourself there. Deal with it. And grow up, Charles. Stop acting like a baby. Mr. Crum, who is getting very nervous, asks Mr. Gabriel, so, Charles is going to jail. Mr. Gabriel explains to Mr. Crum, he'll be spending the night there. And, yes, it's likely that Charles will go to jail again. Mr. Crum replies, now, I don't think we have to go to that extreme. Mr. Gabriel, reading the riot act to Mr. Crum, tells him, I didn't ask you what you think. What's your solution? Detention. Suspension. Not allowing students to defend themselves. This is not a case of chewing gum or talking in class. We're talking about assault here, specifically a form of sexual assault. And if you are foolish enough to suspend Erica, I'll drag you into court too. And let me give you some advice. If you and your school cannot protect Erica, then she will protect herself. And she has my continued permission to do so. I strongly suggest that you do not get in her way. Mr. Crum instantly has a flashback, recalling similar words used by Eddie's father last year. Mr. Zunde, Mr. Fraser, and Braden stand together watching as Mr. Crum bends over and receives his ass kicking from Mr. Gabriel. Chucky is sobbing like a baby because he will be carted off to jail later today. Erica finally feels vindicated after years of putting up with the shit Chucky dealt to her year after year. Mr. Zunde, for once, did not have to be the one to set Mr. Crum straight. And Mr. Fraser is glad to see Mr. Crum put back in his place again, at least for a while. Again usurping Mr. Crum's authority, Mr. Gabriel tells Erica and Braden, Axel and Erica, you two can go back to class now. Erica's father gives her a hug. Erica leaves, along with Braden, going back to their classes. Mr. Gabriel tells Mr. Crum, if you ever call me to this school again regarding Erica defending herself, you'd better be prepared. I don't have time for your nonsense. And, unless you have anything else to say, I have work to do. Mr. Crum replies, no, we're done here. Mr. Gabriel leaves, followed by Mr. Zunde and Mr. Fraser. Mr. Crum is left in his office with Chucky. Chucky, with a fat lip, a likely broken nose, and a dislocated shoulder, wonders how he even got into this situation. Mr. Crum and Chucky will undoubtedly have an intelligent conversation about Chucky's grim future. On the way out, Mr. Gabriel tells Mr. Zunde and Mr. Fraser, I don't quite understand schools. They make up their own rules regarding insignificant nonsense, like chewing gum in class, which they are free to do. They totally overlook serious offenses. When they see something serious, such as assault, they try to trivialize it and put it on the same level as being late to class. Mr. Zunday tells Mr. Gabriel that happens a lot around here. I usually have to put a stop to it. I truly appreciate you straightening out Mr. Crumb today. Mr. Fraser mentions, Erica is one of the best athletes on the track team. Mr. Gabriel replies, she was so happy when she earned 2 medals this winter. She really liked helping out last year and likes being part of the team even more. Mr. Zunday tells Mr. Gabriel, Mr. Fraser, and I look after the athletes. I can assure you that Mr. Crumb will not be a problem. Mr. Gabriel replies, good. And I got to see his desk firsthand. Erica told me what happened. Word gets around this town pretty quickly. Mr. Zunday starts laughing and says, Mr. Boganskaya should have gotten a gold medal for that one. Mr. Zunday and Mr. Fraser head back to the gym. Mr. Gabriel gets back in his police car, which has been sitting parked in front of the school entrance for the last hour. A police car parked in front of the school for almost an hour is certain to stir up the rumor mill. But, since lunch will begin soon, any rumors will be quickly cleared up by Erica. After lunch, the tribe sits on the lawn and relaxes. Erica fills them in on every last detail of what happened during the morning. Braden, in particular, is glad to see that Erica did not get suspended. Eddie asks Erica what happened with Chucky after her father left. Erica tells everyone that, the last she knew, Chucky was still in Mr. Crumb's office. Everyone is wondering whether Chucky is going to get suspended in addition to going to jail. While they are all sitting on the grass, Chucky's mother, Catherine Black, walks toward the school entrance. Chucky's mother, seeing Eddie sitting on the lawn with the rest of the tribe, yells out, Edward Boganskaya, what have you done to Charles this time? I know you have something to do with this. You're not getting away with this one. Kathy yells back to Mrs. Black, he says he's sorry. Mrs. Black yells back, I'll bet he is. Everyone laughs at Kathy's comment as Mrs. Black walks into the school. Hoping to get an answer, Paula curiously asks Erica, so, what happened with the Chucky back when you were in first grade? Erica explains, well, back then, when I was in first grade, Chucky was in second grade. We were out on the playground during lunch, and it was a really hot day, so I had shorts on. Chucky came up from behind me and pulled my pants down in front of all my friends. Then, Chucky and his friends all started laughing at me. Paula exclaims, what a shit. Erica continues, that wasn't the end of it. As we were walking inside, Chucky snuck up from behind and pulled my friend Kate's pants down. He disappeared into the crowd really fast, so we never actually saw it. But we know it was him. Paula interjects, yeah. I don't see how it could have been anyone else. Continuing her story, Erica explains, then, when I was in second grade, Chucky started teasing me, telling everyone that I was fat. So, I told him that he was a big fat bully. Kathy interjects, that's the truth. Erica continues, so, when I was on my way home from school that day, Chucky beat me up, and then he tore all the pages out of my notebook, which blew all over the road. I was so mad. I lost all my school work. And he beat me up one other time that year, and another time when I was in third grade. Paula asks, so, when did you start working out? Erica explains, that's another story. One day, when I was in fourth grade, school let out for the day, and Chucky tripped me in the hallway and pushed me down. So, I got up and punched him as hard as I could. Chucky tried to punch me back, but some fifth grader pinned Chucky against the wall and punched him really hard in his stomach. Chucky doubled over in pain, went down, and started crying. The guy, whoever he was, disappeared really fast. I never did find out who the guy was who came to my rescue. But I thought to myself that, if I could beat up Chucky, he would leave me alone. So, during the summer between 4th and 5th grade, I started lifting weights and running. My dad showed me how to lift weights. I figured that, if I was stronger, I could beat him up. And, if I was faster, I could always run away. Mark interrupts, telling everyone, I have a confession to make. Paula asks Mark, oh, really? And, just what would that be? Mark explains, that was me who punched Chucky in the hallway that day. I remember doing that. But, the Chucky was in a different class, so I had no idea who he was. We never ran into the Chucky until 6th grade, when we all went to middle school. Erica gives Mark a high five, telling him, thanks. Mark continues, I thought to myself that guy was a real shithead for tripping a girl like that. Mark, who started school a year late, was the strongest guy in the school in 5th grade. At that time, he was also the fastest. Finally getting some relief from the bullying, Erica explains, I was so glad when Chucky went to middle school. I had an entire year of peace. But I continued working out, knowing that I'd run into him again next year. So, when I got to middle school, Chucky looked a lot bigger, but it was mostly all fat. And I was a lot stronger than I was when I was in 5th grade. Then, one day, Chucky tried to start something with me, and I ran away. He started chasing me, and he couldn't catch me. Right then, I felt a lot safer since I could outrun him. Then, in 7th grade, I was sure that I could beat him in a fight. But, in middle school, he bullied other people. Eddie comments, yeah. Me, Mark, and occasionally Braden. Erica asks Eddie, how did you guys take care of him? Eddie replies, we didn't want to get in trouble for fighting in school, so we just took the Chucky out in gym class. Braden replies, I remember that. We kicked his sorry ass every chance we got. Paula exclaims, you guys didn't. Mark replies, oh, yeah. We did. Eddie adds, yeah, seriously. About 2 or 3 dozen times. Then, the Chucky's mother came down to the school and tried to get the Chucky put in another gym class. But the school couldn't do it. Finishing her story, Erica explains, after a while, Chucky stopped bothering me. But I kept lifting weights, running, and working out. I figured someday he'd try to start something with me again, and I was ready for him. I guess that day was yesterday. Interrupting her story, Erica tells everyone, uh-oh. Here comes trouble. Seeing Mrs. Black walk out of the school with Chucky, Eddie exclaims, wow. Look at the little Chucky. Erica. What did you do to him? Braden, taking a look, tells Erica, wow. That must have been some ass kicking you gave him. Somebody ought to take his ass to the hospital. Mark replies, that looks more like a face kicking. Erica corrects Mark, telling him, no, that end is his ass. He's the only human who eats and shits out of the same hole. After Erica got finished with him, Chucky looks like he got trampled by a few off-road vehicles out in the woods. Mrs. Black, overhearing the tribe's conversation, walks over with Chucky and asks, so, which one of you guys are responsible for this? Erica proudly stands up and tells Chucky's mother, I am. Erica takes a bow and sits back down. Paula mentions, it's time for a curtain call. Mrs. Black asks Charles, is that the one that did this to you? Chucky reluctantly replies, yeah. Chucky, who is quite embarrassed, asks his mother, can't we just go home? Chucky's mother tells him, no. I want to hear what she has to say for herself. Mrs. Black turns to Erica and exclaims, so, what do you have to say for yourself? Erica tells Mrs. Black, your son's a pussy. He was an easy takedown. Mrs. Black stands there, beside herself, not knowing how to even respond. Mrs. Black shamelessly asks, "And just what is that supposed to mean?" Erica tells Bobby B, who is the strongest guy in the school, to stand up. Erica tells Chuck's mother, "This guy is not an easy takedown. Got it?" Chuck's mother has an axe to grind. But to the tribe, and especially Eddie, she is providing free entertainment. Chucky is sure to pay dearly for the embarrassment his mother just put him through, just as he has many times in the past. And this is what will make Chucky even more antagonistic in the future. Chuck's mother grabs him by the hand, telling him, "Come on, sweetie. Let's go home."